Arthur Miller is one of the titans of American theater. I think for many people, their introduction to his work comes through the high school drama productions of The Crucible. It is one of the great staples of high school and college theater departments for a variety of reasons. It has a huge cast with lots of female parts, so you can get everybody on stage. It also fits with a curriculum about Puritan American and dovetails nicely with both English and history classes. If you were lucky enough to have a really inspired teacher, perhaps someone would have pointed out the correlations between The Crucible and the McCarthy hearings. Written in 1952 and premiered in 1953, The Crucible was Miller's response to Elia Kazan's famous testimony for Joseph McCarthy about the communists in Hollywood, when he named names including Clifford Odets and Lillian Hellman, among others. It is unfortunately a play whose message we never cease to need to hear. The power of mass hysteria to destroy individual lives and ripple through society, gnawing at the facades of civilized, thoughtful life. I wish to live in a time when this message is no longer needed, instead of what we have now, which is a time when it is not heeded. Arthur Miller and Tennessee Williams were contemporaries, and arguably the two most influential figures in the shaping of modern theater in America. They both attended the University of Michigan Playwriting Program, which was strongly grounded in the deconstruction of Henrik Ibsen's work. If you pay attention, you will notice elements, especially in structure, of Ibsen in both of their work. But here is where they differ. Tennessee revels in the unspoken, the innuendo, the painful thought hanging in the air between two people. Arthur Miller, on the other hand, writes incredible speeches that are what we hope our conscience would say and do, if and when faced with these dilemmas. Unlike Kazan's On the Waterfront, his somewhat apologetic film answering for his testimony, Miller wrote The Crucible 4 years before being called by the House Un-American Activities Committee. He cooperated and answered questions about himself and his own activities, but refused to name anyone else's name. This, dear friends, is to me the secret power within the play of The Crucible. How easy it would have been to write about Giles Corey, who refused to answer his accuser's questions only to be crushed to death by the weight of those accusations. Or as Elizabeth Proctor recounted to her husband, "They press him, John. Great stones they lay upon his chest until he plead aye or nay, and he gave them but two words, more weight, and died." How easy to write about that inner well of personal strength and conscience, but when faced with those stones of accusation and pressed with them to capitulate. But not Miller. The reason these monologues of personal accountability and honesty in the face of a sea of dissent ring true is because of the personal actions that back them up. When John Proctor answers Danforth, "I speak my own sins. I cannot judge another. I have no tongue for it." It is Arthur Miller prophesizing his own testimony in the years to come. "I don't know about you, but I have a personal fear that when pushed to the wall in the situations that really matter, that I won't have the strength and the honor to do what I hope I would do. I hope, I pray, but I still fear that I don't know." We hear a lot of talk about the place of character in education, and each generation laments the further drift of the moral compass of the next. The Crucible remains an exceptional depiction of the price of integrity in a world gone mad.